Welcome to episode 260 of the Outback Mind podcast. Thanks so much for joining in. Really appreciating your feedback from the previous podcasts we've done, and yeah, keep them coming. I really enjoy getting such positive messages and just support for what we're doing. So I really appreciate that. Now, really excited today about having a chat with Mr. Tom Cleary from Tasmania. He is a fitness expert down there, doing some wonderful things to transform guys' lives physically and mentally. But very much focused on, changing guys' connection to their bodies and their body image and their perception of themselves. So I guess, we do beat ourselves up a lot, as guys, don't we? And a lot of that's probably due to the way our physical body looks. If we can get that looking right and feel confident within ourselves, and we seem to operate a lot better, and we need to be able to do that, really well to be able to survive and thrive in this lifetime. So a very important conversation we're going to have today. I'm sure you're going to get lots of tips from Tom, and potentially he might be able to be someone that can help you out with working with you in the future as well. There's a lot of online coaching for people external also, so you're going to get a lot from this chat. Really love you to be able to help out our charity. Just through a donation or becoming a member. If you want to jump on the website and check out outbackmind.org.au, there's a donation page on there. There's also a membership page. We've got a new documentary coming out very soon called Boiling Point, around domestic violence prevention, to be able to help men to be a bit more aware of potential risk, which is going to complement our last documentary, Healing Men's Minds. So please check out the trailers on the website, and you're really looking forward to this chat with Tom. Look forward to your feedback. Email me to support at outbackmind.org.au. If you wanted to check us out on Facebook, LinkedIn, and also Instagram, please follow us on there. G'day, Tom.
Aaron.
Mate, so well. Oh, very well. Really pleased to have you here, mate. I'm looking forward to this chat. I coming from a sloppy background and into fitness myself, I know the importance of this, and I know you're passionate about it. So we're gonna have a good yarn about your own journey and everything else in between, mate. But just for the listeners and everyone that's tuning into this, can you tell us a bit about a young Tom Cleary, where you were brought up?
Yeah, so I'm from a small country town called New Norfolk. So I'm from Tasmania, about 8,000 people, and I actually lived out in pretty much like a little shire, my mates call it. But yeah, not many people out there. There was about 100 people. I had to ride a bike for about 30 minutes to get into town to catch up with my friends. But yeah, grew up with the country life, mate, with motorbikes and trees everywhere. And yeah, it was pretty cool growing up in that scenario.
And cold,
mate, no joke, the fog wouldn't lift in winter till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I definitely believe there's a seasonal depression we do experience down here in Tasmania. Yeah. But yeah, she's pretty tough going.
No doubt. That New Norfolk area, they call it the Bridgewater Jerry, and that sort of hangs around the fog till 2 o'clock some afternoons, I suppose, doesn't it?
Mate, they call it the Valley of Love because in winter they reckon it's the only thing you can do.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, exactly. No, I've spent a lot of time up there, mate, and love it, that's for sure. So one of the most beautiful parts of the world. So anyone listening, if they want an experience, get down and check out Hobart, but also head up to the Derwent Valley in New Norfolk. It's a great spot. So mate, what was it like for you growing up as a young fella out there? Like, pretty calm and relaxed, or did you have some challenges as a young fella coming through?
I guess the big one was like you're a fair way out, so I guess catching up with your mates and that kind of thing was, you'd probably have to organise for them to come out and stay for a few nights. But all in all, I enjoy being out there. My mates always love coming out. We could build cubby houses and do all that kind of stuff, and obviously land to roam around on. It's funny, I live in the city now, and the water you're drinking tank water and that kind of thing, you can sort of know the difference and having neighbours. Mm. You just can't roam around just in your undies everywhere like I did when I was a kid. You kind of have to put some clothes on, but I fully appreciated it. The hard bit was when you start getting to like 15, 16, 17, probably wanting to, be more social and meet your friends. It was a little bit challenging at that point, but mate, I can't complain, and I feel like it gave me a bit of roughness around the edges compared to a lot of the city boys that I've met along the way. I've sort of embraced that culture now, but you know, not afraid to get my hands dirty and, I guess, get some hard work done.
Yeah, amazing, mate. That's great. And, yeah, certainly salt of the earth people out there. Certainly I spent a lot of time around Hamilton and, you know, Ooze and places like that. And, yeah, very good place to bring up kids, I'd imagine. So I was on the other side of the river, but definitely, yeah, would have had some great experiences out there. Mate, did you play footy for New Norfolk as a young fella?
Yeah, so I was at New Norfolk till I was around 17. I won a senior premiership when I was 16, played with all the guys. It was funny, we were sort of out at the footy the other day and I was saying to my girlfriend, like, I was one of those little kids that was, like, chasing after all the senior guys. I used to run water when I was, like, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. I was very close with the community and, yeah, winning a senior premiership at a young age and having all the guys look after me, it was very special. And as I guess looked forward and, you know, I had big aspirations with footy, I just had to move on to a different club in order to make that a reality. And then moved down to Glenorchy for a year. My footy journey was pretty unique in the sense of kind of so many highs and lows over the journey. Got glandular fever when I was 18 years old, which put me out for a few years. And then I kind of had a bit of a run when I was in my 20s. And, yeah, like it was a bit of a series of events that sort of pushed me over to play VFL footy in Melbourne. There was many times there when I was 18, 19, 20 at uni, probably up to a bit of no good. And, yeah, I was talking to my partner about it this morning about, you know, those defining moments sometimes along the way, whether they're positive or whether they're, I guess, bad things that happen in your life. Sometimes, you know, certain key moments can drive you forward in a good way or, I guess, push you in a negative direction, as they say.
That's right. So what were some of the challenges sort of you experienced between, say, 18 and maybe, you know, your early 20s?
Well, being a country boy, mate, like I went to uni at Launceston and obviously you go to university and probably never seen so many girls in all my life. So I was like a kid in a candy store. I was like, this is unbelievable. So I guess I got right into, you know, partying quite regularly and probably not quite focusing on the things that would kind of drive me forward, but I definitely did have a great time. But when I was going through, I guess, with footy and stuff like that, I was quite talented. But, you know, like a lot of young players probably feel like they deserve opportunities when maybe you haven't quite worked as hard as what you think you've worked. Especially looking back, you know, how hard I work now compared to back then, you're like, wow, like just perspective, like unless you know, you don't really know. And I guess I worked my way through those party years and, you know, my parents didn't really let me go to much stuff when I was younger. So I think when I got that freedom, I really did take advantage of it. But at the same time, you know, I didn't really move forward, with, I guess, my hopes and aspirations of footy. And it wasn't really until, my grandfather passed away. So he had cancer for a couple of years and obviously me and him touch pointing over those years. And I remember me and him had a very significant conversation, which still sits to me to this day. I remember sitting with him and, yeah, he obviously said he was really proud of me, but he said, it's such a shame that I won't be alive to see all the great things you'll be able to achieve in the future, because right now you're not doing as much as I know that you can. And that conversation just, like, it haunted my nights for months after he passed away. And, yeah, like a very honest conversation. Like, I spent so much time with my pop. He was one of my first ever mentors. Till the day he died, mate, he was chopping wood. He had his own veggie garden. He had a perfectly pristine, I guess, flower garden as well. Just took pride in everything. His house was spotless. But just a genuine hard worker. And, you know, I've looked up to him my whole life. And I try to emulate the hard work that he's put in, because similar to my parents, you know, come up with nothing. You know, he was milking cows when he was a young fella, you know, hundreds of cows by hand when he was, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old, to still having that work ethic to the day he died, and earned everything he got through, you know, hard work. And have someone like that in your life who has spent a lot of time, and we went fishing together. You know, he taught me how to make fishing lures, and like just so much time got invested back. And I guess when someone as significant as that kind of gives you the heart-to-heart conversation and some real talk, you definitely listen. And yeah, my life changed from that moment on. I pretty much, the year after, I went from playing, I guess, reserves footy to playing senior footy in a grand final, making the Tassie state team, to winning a state league grand final, and then being in Melbourne about a year and a half later. So it just goes to show that sometimes we have a bit more left in the tank, and I guess we just need to realise it.
Yeah, that's true, mate. And you done a couple of really important things there. But there's certain moments in our life where we get a sign and a message, and we can either act on that or react negatively, you know. And, you know, full credit to you for being able to sort of take that moment, like, really positively and do something from it. And, you know, your grandfather looking back now would be extremely proud of you, I would have thought. But, mate, you know, it's funny with guys, you know, we always regret things. And that was probably a pivotal time for you, you know, that sort of period. I do know some young fellas that are really focused and determined at a young age to succeed, you know, in their chosen discipline, and that's their pure focus. But the majority of us don't have that, you know, and we maybe sort of get that a bit later. So we're maybe late bloomers or late developers. But, you know, everyone's got a different journey, I guess, at the end of the day, and we can't really compare ourselves. But all we can do is, you know, work with what we've got to the best of our ability, you know, and in the ages that we're in. And it sounded like that was a, you know, amazing time for you. And, you know, not many people have positive male role models in their lives. So it's really good that you were able to connect with someone like your pop that could give you that salt of the earth grounding and, you know, the simplicity of doing those basic things, which, you know, a connection, you know, exercises like making lures and that. But actually it gives you the ability to be able to sort of get to know someone at a deeper level, because you've got that, you know, that family bond. And, you know, as I mentioned, a lot of young bugs don't have that at all.
Yeah, I totally agree, mate. And like, I believe mentors, and to this day, I always have someone in my corner that's teaching me something new. Like, whether you've got to pay for it, whether they're people, you know, that you want to spend more time with, like, it's invaluable, especially as men. I think that the apprentice-master relationship, kind of, you know, learning through relationships is honestly some of the best learning you'll ever do.
That's right. Absolutely agree, mate. And there's a huge role for us moving forward to be able to be a positive, you know, role model for people young and old because of the work we do. But, you know, I think that's the missing link in men and men's health, is we're too separative, we're too comparative, we're too judgmental on others and also judgmental on ourselves rather than being supportive of each other. So I reckon your pop would have been someone that was probably pretty positive and, you know, someone that was just a nice all-round guy. That's the essence of humanity in itself, I guess, you know, to be able to get to that point where you are humble. Yeah, mate, so that's amazing to hear. So that my pop was also a major influence in my life too. So, that's really, really good to hear. I'd like to know sort of how it progressed for you from there, like footy-wise, and how you sort of got into the discipline, like, of men's health and, you know, I suppose personal training and that moving forward.
Yeah, so at uni, essentially I went to a Catholic high school, St. Virgil's, very, very disciplinary, you know, homework, you know, a lot of work put on us, and those habits of consistently executing. Then I rolled in. I didn't quite want to wear a tie. I wanted a bit more freedom at college. So I went to Claremont College and found it quite easy, which meant I could kind of cruise through, get pretty good marks. And I just found myself helping out a lot of other kids that probably didn't quite get the schooling that I got. So I sort of found myself in not a mentoring role, but just a role where I was helping other people. And a teacher actually came to me and said, mate, like, you shouldn't be doing, you know, a trade. At the time, I was like, oh, I might become a builder, I like building things, I like doing stuff outdoors. And he said, mate, you've got to become a teacher. Like, you're awesome. You'll really enjoy it. You'll love uni, which I did love uni. But that's what sent me down the road of becoming a teacher, and I ended up graduating with a health physical education degree with a health science specialisation off the side. And I guess that's where my journey into mentoring, coaching somewhat began. When I went over to Melbourne, I had my degree with me because I was a little bit older. So when I arrived, obviously really focused in on, I guess, my footy and getting the most out of that. But at the same time, I got offered an opportunity to, I guess, come into a business that was called Physical Literacy. So it was about teaching teachers on how to incorporate PE into primary schools in disadvantaged areas. So that was a really cool business, you know, kids that can barely speak English, but, you know, making it fun and just showing teachers how they can just get more of that. Because with kids, there was, we essentially put studies forward that when you incorporate physical activity into their day, they're 80% more likely to actually take on information, which is a crazy stat.
Yeah.
And it's something, even moving forward, is something that I really want to push into schools, and it's the biggest hole in schools. I mean, you're leaving these kids inside for 80 to 90% of their day. It's like a little bit more, you know, play and incorporating that side of things, which all kids love to do. Like, I loved being outside when I was a kid, versus spending 40 minutes of PE per week. So that was, I guess, the next little thing that I did with my degree. But I guess as it went on, it just got to a point where, like, we needed funding, and I guess the AFL and Cricket Australia wasn't willing to give us the funding. So that's when I ventured into personal training, and I did personal training for, yeah, close to 6-7 years in Port Melbourne, in Melbourne. Mate, had the best time helping out corporates. It's unbelievable the amount of kinks in their body the old corporate, the old corporate person does have, just through, I guess, their working situation, working at desks, and I guess the amount of time that has to go back into their body to realign it. But that's essentially where I got started on the coaching front.
Amazing, mate. Yeah, look, everything happens for a reason, doesn't it? At the end of the day, you know, once we sort of become curious and get out of the road, some amazing things sort of, unfold. But you had, you know, I suppose a great experience. My kids went to St. Virgil's too, so I know the method there and how they sort of approach, teaching boys. But you had that grounding early, and you were around young fellas and you understood them. And I guess, you know, you mentioned something really important as well, which I'm big on, is that we're made to sit and think early. We're really intuitively, we're moving and playing. That's our natural way of being, you know. And if we can get back to that instinct again, then all of a sudden I think the creativity starts to unfold. And then we start to, you know, take a path which is more aligned with what we really want to do, I guess, at the end of the day.
Yeah, mate, I totally agree. And when I've got, I guess, when I'm stuck on ideas, the number one thing I'll do is, you know, either grab the headphones, go for a walk, or just go for a walk in general. Getting outside, getting some fresh air, and I just, that consistency of just walking, because you're focusing on doing one thing. It's crazy what happens when you get out in nature, and I guess go and roam, which I think as men is something that we've probably been doing for the last tens of thousands of years. So
that's right. And really, mate, we've been denatured in modern society, haven't we? So it's a matter of reconnecting again and putting yourself in an environment where you've got an ecosystem around you. So you're living in the city, you know, you've got to be able to get away from that as much as possible and get back to the natural assets, I guess, is really important. That's my advice for people if they're in that sort of built environment. But I reckon, mate, there's definitely a connection, because we are natural beings at the end of the day. We've just been sort of taken away from that, you know, and put into buildings and into, you know, in behind desks and all those sorts of things, which is not helping our bodies, you know, function as they should. So yeah, being able to sort of get connected to our body is a big thing for a guy, because we just lose connection and we're sort of too stuck in the thinking mind. And that sort of takes us away from our, you know, our alignment. Then the negative minds kicks in, and then all of a sudden we get out of whack. So yeah, physical movement's, you know, critical.
Yeah, mate, I totally agree.
Tell me, so you took a real risk by getting into this, because I suppose, you know, it's a bit of an unknown when you take a gamble, you know, and go out on your own in a business without having that sort of regular income. When did all that sort of happen for you?
Oh, trust me, mate. Till this day, my parents still ask me if I'm going to go back to teaching. So there's my employer. I reckon at least once a week, my mum goes, you're still like, you know, you're still updating your teaching degrees. Yeah, mum. Yeah, it's all good. But I guess for me, I always wanted to have a big impact. Like I wanted to help as many people as I could. You know, fitness for me, it was honestly the pillar that gave me that confidence to go out and even try to make VFL. Like when I was heading over to Melbourne, like tickets booked and all, like my mum's like, you sure you want to go? Like you don't know if you're going to get a game, you know, you don't even have a job yet. Like there's all these what ifs, obviously just trying to protect me and to make sure that I don't get over there and get stuck, if that makes sense. But it was one of those ones that I guess as soon as that conversation happened with a pop, it's like, you know, life's very, very short and we've got to make things happen whilst we're here. And I guess for me, like, it's not really that big of a risk. The biggest risk is, you know, living a life where you finish up at the end of the road and you think, geez, it would have been nice to have, you know, tried that. And I've kind of held that mentality myself and that ability to just back yourself in. You know, no matter what happens, you've still got yourself, you've still got the skill set. You know, you've still got your resourcefulness along the way. And, you know, like I've had some shitty jobs to make ends meet along that journey. But, you know, I was, I guess even when I was building my PT stuff, you know, I was getting paid pretty well to play footy in the local leagues out there. I was living on a very, yeah, like at the beginning, I wasn't earning a whole lot of money, but I was willing to, you know, take that sacrifice then, you know, live in a bit of discomfort, probably only having a couple of $100 a week to spend on food and fuel. But you know, in the moment, you know, that ability to, I guess, delay gratification in the, I guess, the greater, with the greater purpose of knowing that, you know, you've got a vision that you want to build out. I guess that's probably the most important thing, is having a strong enough vision for what you're doing and why you're doing it. You know, for me, it was like, if this works, you know, I'm going to be helping people every single day. They're going to be people that want help. And at the same time, there's going to be a bit of freedom once I build it out. Like with personal training, it was, you could work mornings, you could work evenings, and, you know, you could schedule people into your day. And I guess as you get bigger and bigger, like I'm experiencing now, it's just about becoming better with your systems, better with how you are as a business owner, and just providing better services as you go along and as you learn.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. That's wonderful, wonderful insight for sure. You know, but pardon me. If you have those positive role models in your life that can sort of guide you, that's maybe that have a business background, or you got structure like you did, I think that'll take you, you know, to a good place. But you know, for me personally, I was sort of big on this 10 years ago, a bit more, and I wanted to do it, but the security of the paid job kept pulling me back. So I was more like a hobby business, doing this sort of stuff, and I never really excelled in it. I reckon I could have, but I was just too afraid to sort of take the plunge and take the risk. I was married at the time, I had kids at school at St. Virgil's, and yes, so I was a bit caught between two things, because that's what my heart wanted to do, because I'm very much like you. I like to be able to see people develop personally and give them joy and give them, you know, some satisfaction by helping them, you know, with their personal development. You know, and really, we've hit on a couple of really important things in this conversation. Is a lot of us get swept away from our truth and what we're really wanting to do, and we just go and do something mediocre to get by. But if we can break free of that and really, you know, find direction and some clarity with what we want to do, that can help us, you know, live a balanced, successful life, I guess, at the end of the day.
And I guess going on that, so obviously when COVID hit, and this is probably the biggest rebuild, and I guess guys out there that do have permanent jobs, this is probably a lesson for them. I mean, when COVID hit, it was pretty bad. Essentially, I went from earning good money to earning $0 and 0 cents, being on stimulus checks, which at the time I was in a pretty expensive apartment, which chewed up majority of that. And yeah, I sort of got to the point where it just honestly felt like all this work that had been put in, I was back to square one. I didn't really know what I was going to do outside of that. And yeah, I guess that's probably been one of the biggest low points of my life of, you know, I obviously had this massive build up, played VFL footy, you know, had AFL interest to, you know, I probably need to start working on my career. I'm a little bit too old to make it now. To building up a cool business, to being like, I'm killing it, this is awesome, to getting a massive slap in the face and being back at square one and needing to ask my dad for a few hundred bucks to give myself some food for the week. So I guess at 20, what was I then, 26 years of age, like it's the last conversation you want to be having with your parents. And I guess I was in a very, I guess, verging on some pretty dark places like depression. I was waking up at about 10, 11 o'clock each day, which anyone who knows me, I wake up at 4, 5 a.m. in the morning most mornings. And I guess a place where you just don't know where your future's going. You know, it just feels like you're 18 years old at 26. You know, no direction. Like we went back to the gym for 2 weeks just to be closed down again. And I was like, well, you know, if this is what the future looks like, you know, this business that I have probably isn't going to serve me moving forward. And I was about 3 weeks of just, yeah, not being in a great place mentally. And I remember, yeah, reading a book, Hard Men Create Good Times. But yeah, his book was so interesting. And he said about, yeah, one of the biggest things he did to, it was to cure his cancer, but I'm not saying it does, but he went on a fast. So he actually went out into the wilderness, put himself into a fast, and yeah, it obviously done wonders for him. But I was like, well, maybe I'll do that. So I actually went out to the Grampians for 5 days straight, didn't eat, just drank water, sat on top of this mountain for about 8 hours, and just had this epiphany that I've got to sort my life out. I've got to stop feeling sorry for myself, and you know, Tasmania, I've got to go back home and I've got to rebuild my life. So the following day, I sent a message through to the president of Glenorchy Footy Club. I said, I'll come back, I'll finish the season, you just got to buy me tickets, I'll be over there. And yeah, that all happened within 24 hours. I was back at home. I had 2 weeks in isolation because the, I guess, the COVID restrictions were still on. And whilst I was in the pretty much in the back end of the house by myself for 2 weeks, couldn't really speak to mum and dad. They just dropped food and stuff off at the door. That's when I sat down and was like, well, I want to help people. You know, I found so much satisfaction in, I guess, helping people in, you know, health and fitness. I wanted to do something in that space. And I guess I looked at it and I was like, I'm giving the service of obviously training people. I was getting decent results, but I'm like, how can we get better results? And how can we deliver a better product? And I just knew that the educational piece was the missing piece outside of that. And I guess beyond just training people, what are they doing outside of the gym? Like, how can we put things in place to make sure that, you know, holistically, we're putting a plan in place for people to succeed, you know, no matter what. And I guess that's where my new business got formed. And I started from ground zero. I had no clients. All my clients were in Melbourne. And I was like, I need money. So I worked full time as a relief teacher. That's how I got the money to live and get out of home, because I was like, nah, I've got to get out of home as soon as possible. So I essentially worked 5 days a week as a relief teacher for close to 3.5 years whilst building this business. And as I started building more and more clients into, I guess, my portfolio of clients, I slowly pulled back on the teaching load. And I guess that's where we sit today, with, yeah, me being full-time as an online fitness coach now. The results I get now compared to just being a personal trainer are like astronomically greater. You know, being able to sort people's lives out outside of the gym is vastly more important than what happens in the gym. Obviously, the training element, you know, is important to build that strength, build that muscle. But, you know, the stuff that happens outside of that gym, mate, that's the stuff that matters.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, when you're there, you got that structure around you and you sort of you turn it on. But that's where a guy falls short, is we leave there and we get sort of sucked into the habits and all the shit around it. So you got to be completely disciplined about yourself. And that's bloody amazing to hear, and really, really interested to hear you went to the Grampians. I used to live, that's where I'm from, that area. And you can just reconnect with yourself again. And everything happens for a reason, mate, you know, like that all sort of evolves. Otherwise you may not be doing what you're doing if that never did. But you know, just because you were brave enough to spend time alone, but also, you know, go deep within yourself, that's when the answers started to come. And that's what a lot of blokes were afraid to do. We're always sort of looking for a diversion or whatever, but we've got to try and, you know, really, really figure out what it is that makes us burn inside and helps us, you know, move towards a pathway of alignment. And it's not easy to take that leap, but, you know, mate, full credit to you if you've been able to do that, and, you know, some of the wonderful things you've been able to create from it. And I know you've trained some pretty high profile people down there. One of them being the ex-premier Peter Gutwin, and had some great results with him, and, you know, people of all ages. What are some of the best, you know, like experiences you've sort of had along the way with working with people, particularly men?
I think it's just seeing how, you know, they approach their lives, the confidence they have within their relationships, and I guess just the swagger, you know, reigniting that swagger that, you know, they probably once had. There's nothing better than seeing men operating, I guess, at their highest version of themselves. Mm. You know, a lot of us, we all know when we're on top of our shit, and we all know when we're full of shit and we're just, you know, talking out of our ass. And, you know, I feel like when we're doing the right things, when we're ticking the right boxes, you know, when we're process driven, and I guess when we're focusing on what we need to do each day instead of looking outwards, amazing things can happen. And, you know, when we're talking just, you know, the human body, you know, the body drives the mind. And when people are ticking off the boxes with their body, keeping themselves healthy and making sure that the, you know, the fuel that's coming in is good quality fuel. The big thing I tell the guys is 80% of your serotonin's in your gut. Mm. So make sure you're putting some decent fuel in the engine. So the easiest way, if you want to be a bit happier with life, is to just improve your diet. Mm. Obviously the exercise, the endorphins from exercise is going to help you as well. But, you know, making sure that what's coming in is good stuff is going to, it's going to show you new levels of, you know, performance, productivity, and just probably overall happiness than probably what you've experienced before.
So what are some of the key things as far as diet transformation is concerned? What are some of the key things that guys, you know, mainly do, the poor habits, and what are some of the things you can do to tweak them into good, you know, habits, which they can stay in alignment with?
So I'm a massive proponent of high protein diet. So you got to think most of the living cells in your body is protein and water. So they're two of the key things that we do measure, and we do make sure that we're hitting each day. From there, you know, it's about obviously being able to manage your calories and being able to at least have an idea of what's coming in. I'm all about systems when it comes to nutrition. Keep it simple, because there's no point overcomplicating things if they don't need to be overcomplicated. You know, learning correct portion sizes for what you need, not what you needed when you're 20 years old when you're playing sport as a young rooster. Mm. You know, that's usually the big stuff that we teach is, you know, what do you need, not what do you want to eat. But honestly, when you get the protein right, when you're drinking more water, when you're improving the quality of the food you're eating, and when you've got a good idea in relation to, I guess, what a serving size should look like, let's say, for example, you know, how much steak you should be using, you know, what's a serving of rice look like. When you understand what those things are, you know, it's very easy to build your meals out. It's just about relearning some new skills, and it's similar to managing your budget. It's getting off the credit card and getting onto a debit card. That's pretty much how I frame it.
Mate, it's interesting because early we were taught to binge, weren't we? You know, like binging is all around celebration, birthday parties as kids, and you get into sport and it's all about pie nights and bloody and drinking beer and so forth too. And we overindulge, we actually eat too much. And, you know, I'm a victim of that. I used to train a lot, but I'd eat six meals a day, good quality meals. Now I sort of might eat two. I'm 52 now. So I ate one. Yep. I haven't had anything yet, but I'll have something like later, and then I'll have something about 4 o'clock. But I'm probably at the stage where I need to, you know, add more protein, and I eat a plant-based diet. You know, I gave away the meat years ago because I couldn't get the quality that I was looking for. So So there's probably an opportunity for me to be able to tweak a few things moving forward there with it. And, you know, I've had a really, you know, strong journey with nutrition and health, and sort of moved away from the Western philosophy and more to the Eastern philosophy, you know, and that sort of served me really well. Don't have any aches and pains. Physically can move like a 25-year-old. But there's a few things that I can do to probably improve it, you know, and I'm not competing anything anymore. But, you know, I just think as we age and we evolve, we've actually got to be curious and adapt. And, yeah, like, you know, I'm not eating as much and I'm feeling a lot better. And I was ignoring what my gut was telling me a lot. And I was eating an avocado every day, for example, but my digestion wasn't as good as what it could be. Now I've sort of changed that and it's working a lot better. So, it's a key factor of humanology, I think, as we age to maybe make some changes. You know, 7-year structures, I think, is a good one to work by. Like, your body's changing every 7 years. And if you can sort of work towards, you know, getting something in alignment through that period, then great. And I reckon as we get older too, like, you know, we get to 60s, 70s and 80s, we don't need to eat as much. And I think modern society, like, tries to, you know, think, you know, make us think we've got to, you know, consume consistently. But if we can learn to tune in with our bodies, it's amazing how much more in control we are, I guess.
Yeah, mate, and it's funny, I was talking with Big Pete the other day. We're obviously talking about the food pyramid and stuff like that, but, you know, if you're building majority of your meals around your protein source, so for breakfast, for example, you know, eggs was kind of like the staple thing for my breakfast. Mm. You know, my lunch will have some form of meat and whatnot. I feel like as long as you're building your meal around your protein versus your starchy carbs, your carbs, for example, mm-hmm. it's a really good starting point. And I guess how I look at it, for someone who's completely new to it, you know, you've got to look at the quantity of the food you're eating and the quantity of the calories you're taking in. You've got to manage that first. Like, if you don't manage that first, you know, the other stuff doesn't matter in regards to the quality and whatnot. From there, you know, the next part of it is performance nutrition. So improving the quality of what you eat, how do things make you feel when you eat them? How do you digest certain foods? You know, obviously, if you've got the runs after eating certain things, you've got to cut them out, and you sort of make a bit of a checklist of foods that make you feel and operate at your best. And then obviously the final bit is supplementation around, I guess, any holes within your diet. With the quality as well, the thing that I've been looking into recently is eating, fruit, vegetables, fish, meat that are in season. I think that's another thing that's, you know, depending on where you live, you should probably be eating the foods which are in season at the time, instead of, say, being in the middle of winter Tasmania, say, eating bananas from, you know, somewhere completely different on the world.
Yep, spot on. I did that for a couple of years, don't worry. I was a bit out of whack with all that. But, mate, I completely hear you with that one. And nature provides us what we need when we need it, and it always has. You look at what grows in Tasmania, you know, wouldn't say all year round, but seasonally, it's giving us this vibrancy that's alive. And if we can be intuitive to that, then all of a sudden we can be more connected and control with our food source. You know, we've been taught to outsource this for the last 40 years. Like, I was a young fellow, I was born in 71, but, you know, I saw people growing food, sharing it, all that, a local grocer. And then the supermarkets came in and everyone got sort of trained to go down that path, you know. But I think if you can be wise and start to get back to, you know, knowing the grower, knowing where your food's coming from, having a connection with the food, it can actually give you a lot more pleasure and a lot more, you know, gratitude for where it's actually, you know, being delivered from, rather than just coming, you know, off a shelf or out of a fridge in a supermarket. You know, it's not the right environment for food, I don't think. And yeah, you're very lucky down in Tassie. You got the markets on Sunday, and you got all these great you know, producers which can give you what you need. People listening in you know, in other parts of Australia, just probably get smart about it and try and source, you know, the best possible products that you can. We've got to love ourselves again and sort of give ourselves, you know, some value, I guess. Whether you can afford it or not, it's a matter of trying to do what you can with what you're able to. But we've actually become, you know, self-destructive. And, there's a lot to say with the way we've been led, mate, you know, with all the fast food options and all that going around. People are just being diverted away from you know, feeling good by convenience, and just got to be smart about it. And as you said, like, know how you feel after you're eating something. And I can tell you now, you know, I used to love when I was in Tassie eating mazethas, kebabs, but an hour later I felt pretty ordinary.
Yeah, mate, 100%. It's a super important, but I will say one thing though. The first thing everyone needs to sort out is just, you know, how much are you spending each day on calories? You know, if you can have a look at that and even just document, you know, what you are eating, and then just be aware of how much fuel is coming into the machine, you know, it'll give you a good perspective on, you know, where you can improve straight away.
Mm. What's your philosophy on fasting now?
Look, I believe everything has its place. For people that are obviously wanting to lose fat, I feel like you're better off eating more consistently over the day, which isn't going to lead you till the end of the day. Mm. So I had a client recently that's been doing fasting. He goes, I eat two meals a day. But then when you look at the two meals he's eating more food than I eat, and I'm 6'5".
Yep.
So it's like, yeah, it's one of those ones, just because you fast, it doesn't solve the equation of calories in, calories out. You know, it is a powerful tool that you can use. And when it comes to mental performance, you should always backload calories. So if you want mental performance, you should always be aiming to eat the majority of your calories and the majority of your food at the back end of the day, so your body's not sending energy to your digestion instead of your brain. Mm. When we're talking optimizing body composition and, I guess, building muscle, you want a consistent stream of amino acids or protein over the course of the day, so consistent feeding windows. Mm. But there's two, I guess, depends on what your goal is, will depend on the style of nutrition or the plan you'll put in place.
Mm, yeah, amazing, mate. Do you notice like some people that come to you have got a strict plant-based diet and you can sort of work with that with them?
Yeah, so I've got a few guys that live down Signet Huonville, right into that kind of stuff. They've had amazing results. The key thing is like I said, upping the protein. There's so many plant-based alternatives. Now, the quality of what it is, very questionable, but it is what it is. Mm. But, mate, they can supplement in with, say, a vegan-style protein and whatnot. I mean, a couple of scoops of that's going to give you an extra 50, 60 grams of protein into your daily target, which is going to make it pretty easy for you to hit. Mm. But, mate, they're getting amazing results. The guys pretty much suiting up for a triathlon mid-year this year. Mate, he was well overweight. His goal was just to be able to run five kilometres without stopping. 6 months later, he was running the Burnie 10, doing 4-minute 40 kilometres, then running his first half marathon 6 months later. Mm. And, obviously the next goal is to, you know, do a bigger challenge.
Mm, amazing, isn't it? And see, that's the thing. It's a big trap we get into as guys, is we want the end result too quick. We just got to look at the little small steps we can make, like that guy did, and then it can lead to some great results and healthy habits. And he's probably on a pathway now where this will be a sustainable thing for the rest of his life. It was the same with me. I sort of got out of the gym, went into running, and all I wanted to do was like run, you know, a kilometre. And I did that, and then I ran a couple, and then more, and then I ran up the hill that I lived on, and it was just sort of one thing led to the other. And I think unfortunately we trap ourselves because we get too caught up in the destination rather than the actual journey. And the journey's beautiful if we can just sort of be kind to ourselves and just, you know, focus on that one step at a time or whatever it is, which can, you know, lead to big results.
Oh, 100%. And I guess being a lifelong learner, you know, there's always something new that you can add on to the I guess, the war chest or the skill set that you do have. And I believe that the day you stop learning is the day you pretty much start dying. So I guess being, a kid at heart and always being open to new information, obviously you've got to filter it to make sure that it is the right stuff. But, mate, it's super important to, you know, consistently, you know, try to learn consistently over the lifespan, because there's so much out there. You know, I read very regularly, and mate, there's so much you can learn, and there's so many great things that you can learn off other people that have, you know, spent their whole life doing something. I mean, if you can take in someone's life in a couple of weeks worth of reading, it's an amazing investment.
Well, mate, look at the list you got from your pop. You know, and what that personal development did for you, you know, and those final words that he gave you. And there's lots of your pops out there that have got their own wisdom they want to share and pass down. So, yeah, you're right. And it's something I've disconnected from a bit, is that learning from others' journeys and that too. And, I was fortunate to write a book a few years back about my own experience, and that sort of helped a lot of people. But I haven't really been engaged in learning from others, and I've got to start doing that for my own personal development, I guess. And so you're right, because we can get sort of distracted and we don't focus on that development side of things. But I think, yeah, being able to collaborate and be appreciative of others' experiences and not judgmental of them can be really, really important. You think about school too, mate, like how competitive but also comparative we're always comparing ourselves to others, and that's a real trap, eh? And I think if we can be more compassionate and content can really help us, you know, like reach our goals a little bit better rather than sort of comparing ourselves. I think that's one of the biggest traps we fall into as guys. Would you agree?
Yeah, mate. I think it's the outcome focus versus the process focus. You know, instead of like, I've got an A+ on my test, it's like, cool, how did you prepare for the test? You know, did you study each night? Did you do the right things leading up to the test? It's kind of the same thing with, like, say, football. You know, you kick 5 goals on the weekend. You know, how was training during the week? How did you prepare the night before? It's like, what were the things that led to that performance, and focusing on those things versus, I guess, just, you know, even with parents, just focusing on, you know, the cool thing that they achieved. It's like, I guess, what was the lead up to it, and were they doing the right things to create that performance? I think that if everyone had that process-driven mindset of, you know, what are the key things that are going to move you forward towards your goals versus, I achieved my goal or I didn't achieve my goal.
Spot on. Absolutely. Well said, mate. And for me personally, it was writing it down on a daily basis and just seeing the progress too. And that's important, that connection. And you give me lots of reminders here through this chat, you know, and some things that I can do to straighten a few, you know, self-discipline things in my life out. I suppose it's pretty good, but there's always tweaking to do. And I think it's important for people to have someone like you to mentor them, to get them on track. And you know, once they get to a stage, they move on from you, and they take their own self-autonomy. But like really having a coach and a mentor for, you know, for 3 months, I think minimum, is really important for an individual, so they can get that structure and have someone walk, you know, side by side with them. And mate, I really encourage anyone, you know, listening to this, if they're curious, you know, reach out to you and have a chat. And how do you do that? Do you usually have like a consultation chat with people on the phone and then sort of go from there?
Yeah, 100%, mate. So, you know, first conversation is more about where they're at, what the goal is, and I guess I'll look at whether or not I can help them or not, and whether they're in the right mental, I guess, state of mind to be helped. I've had so many conversations where obviously they tell me all the things they're doing right, but, you know, unless you're open to suggestion and potentially a new way of moving forward, you know, that's the most important thing, you know, making sure they're open to learning. And as long as that's in place, mate, you know, the rest will take care of itself. I'm massive on the one-to-one stuff, mate, looking at each person's lives, because we all have our own challenges. You know, motivation is a fleeting feeling. Some days you feel good, some days you don't. And, mate, sometimes it's nice to have someone in your corner that gives you that bit of a nudge to say, come on, let's keep going, let's keep getting it done.
Spot on, mate. Absolutely agree. And that investment's critical. And I've done it a few times in my life, and it's helped me tremendously, you know, because you're invested. And, you know, I think that's the big thing. If you can invest, then you're committed and you've got skin in the game. And then once that happens, then away you go. I think as guys, we procrastinate too much, you know. So we've got to, like, look at the positive things and what can actually happen. And, you know, I think you're definitely someone that that people can get a lot from, you know, as a coach and a mentor. And you're genuinely, you know, interested in helping people, which is, you know, pretty rare rather than just making money. And a lot of people in this space have, you know, lost focus of that. They've actually, like, you know, become more focused on personal gain. I think if you can still maintain that natural human aspect, you know, which was you as a country lad all along, you know, you got that curiosity and you got that interest in being able to help people, and that's always been there. So mate, you know, full credit to you for what you're doing, and full credit to you for sticking on the path. You know, as I said, everything happens for the reason. The footy thing never eventuated, and, you know, the COVID thing came at the right time. You've done the work on yourself, and someone that's done the work on themselves is the person that I want to, you know, work with and connect with, because they know what it's like to be in the trenches. They haven't just read a book and they're out there teaching it. So mate, you know, you've got to be proud of yourself there. And as I said, I really encourage, you know, people listening to reach out and look at your work. What's the best way to do that, mate? Have you got websites and social media and so forth?
Yep, so you can pretty much find my website at www.tomcleary.com.au, or hit me up on social media. Instagram's the main one, and LinkedIn, just Tom Cleary Coaching.
Awesome, mate. Easy. And you have, like, it's men's transformation or men's fitness mastery. Is that like a course that you're sort of running?
Yep, so it's a 16-week course. We cover everything from your mindset, your nutrition, your training. I'm a teacher by trade, so I guess I pride myself on making sure that not only we get the results, but you've got knowledge and skills that you can take forward with you moving forward, because I don't believe I've done my job if, you know, you can't leave my service without that. I mean, like the saying goes, you give a man a fish, he's fed for a day, teach a man man to fish, he's going to be fed for his lifetime. So I'm all about that lifelong learning.
Spot on, mate. Well said. Mate, really enjoyed the chat. Thanks so much. I'm sure we're going to get to meet in person one day. And love what you're doing, mate. Just keep at it. There's going to be some wonderful things come for you between this time and the end of the year and you know, from 2025 and beyond. So mate, well done. Thank you so much. And I look forward to you know, connecting and watching your journey.
Thanks, Aaron. Awesome to be on here, mate.